Well, we're going to try to finish up what we started last week. We began a message. We're still on the Sermon on the Mount. I think probably we'll have a few more messages. There's, if we get into chapter 7 of Matthew, it kind of finishes up Jesus' message. It's the longest sermon that's recorded of Jesus. We've been in it for a number of weeks now. But it just hits on so many important things. And next week is Matthew chapter 7. We're going to try to look at verses 1 through 5, which regard judging. And there's a lot of confusion, even in Christian assemblies, about judging. What does the Bible say? Does it mean that we have no regard for what God has to say regarding truth? And what should our attitude be regarding the things that are revealed? So we'll look at that next week. But today we want to finish up this message on choices regarding specifically money and possessions, worry, and then priorities. These three things that Jesus said that his disciples would be faced with. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm not going to re-preach the whole sermon, but I want to touch on a couple of just highlights to get us on the same page. So we're going to be in verses 19 through 34 of Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to ask, first of all, if you'd bow your heads with me, and we'll pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for health and strength to be here. Lord, we are grateful for your provision for our lives. And Lord, we also recognize needs that have been brought forward in our time of prayer and prayer request. And we ask you, Lord, to meet each need. Help us now as we direct our attention and our thoughts to what you had to say to your followers. And help us, Lord, to be guided too by your direction. Please speak to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, as we have said in the weeks gone by. Some have kind of looked at the Sermon on the Mount as a blueprint or a constitution for the Christian life, to say, these are things that are really important. Pay attention to these things and let them direct your life as a follower of Jesus. We began by looking at this very thought that stuff here doesn't last. In fact, that's what Jesus was telling his disciples. Let's look at Matthew 6 and verse 19. He said, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal." And he says, "Instead, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." And what he was saying is, you know, we have a choice to make regarding what we store up. We know that we leave behind our treasures here on this earth, but we can send some on ahead. There's a passage we looked at last week that said that God is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love, those things that we do to honor him and to recognize him. And so the disciples were faced with a choice, either store up treasure here on earth or store up treasure in heaven. And you know, it's interesting, you know, that verse that says, you know, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What we value the most has the power to call the shots in our life. To what we value the most informs our decision-making process. And if earthly treasures, our possessions, our pleasures, our positions, if they become too important to us, then we need to reestablish our priorities. And the question we asked is, where is my heart today? What do I value the most in my life? You know, sometimes Christians are challenged in this because we think, well, does that mean I'm supposed to just give up and not have anything in this life? And that's not what Jesus seemed to be getting at. In fact, the whole of Scripture points out that God does bless us. It's not wrong to possess things, but what Jesus seems to be getting at here is that it is wrong for things to possess us. And that's the real challenge for us. I do want us to look at this verse. We looked at it last week, this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is so helpful for us because sometimes you get the impression, well, you know, if I'm going to follow Jesus, then, you know, I cannot have anything that I enjoy or anything that brings blessing to my life. I think the scripture points us in a very good direction. And this passage here, it speaks to that. Let's read these verses, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Paul is writing to this young pastor. He says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable." And I think last week we did touch on this. Sometimes we, when we read these kind of verses, we think, well, that's talking about Bill Gates and his wife, or that's talking about Warren Buffett, that big investor guy. You know what, friends? We, you, all of us are rich in this world. When you consider all the folks who live on the face of this globe, we are rich beyond belief. And so these are talking to us. Okay? So put out of your mind, you know, the 1%. We are wealthy in this world in comparison to this world. It says not to be proud and not to trust in our money, which is so unreliable. But it says their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So God blesses us with the rightful things we have in this life. This is not talking about going out and robbing banks and having a house full of loot. This is talking about those things that you and I are blessed with from the hand of God and blessed with by our work, and we're able to purchase and have things. But let's read on here what it says. Tell them to use their money to do what? Good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. And so we talked last week too how that the things we have can become really too important in our lives to where they take over and push God right out of the picture in our lives. It happens. We can too easily become shackled by things. And we realized as well that we cannot serve both God and money. Take a look here in this verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Both are so powerful that they call for complete commitment. And so the disciples are faced with a choice. Is it going to be God and the things of God, or is it going to be other pursuits? And so that was a challenge to those believers, those early believers. And it comes down to us as well. And we made this point that God alone deserves our full devotion. And there's plenty of reasons why, but I want to name just three of them here this morning, because this is his world. He created it. He has given us our very existence, and that is his absolute right of creation. Secondly, by his providing for us throughout the course of our lives. And third, because of the redemption that he brought for our eternal souls. So a good question for us is, where does my ultimate allegiance lie? God or my things? Again, Jesus does not condemn possessions or wealth, but the giving it the primacy, living for it alone, allowing it to displace God. That's what he warned his followers about. And we come to the second thing Jesus spoke to his followers about, and that was the thing of worry. Before I even begin here, we're going to look at verses 25 through 34. Last Sunday morning at this time, I got up here and I read these words that Jesus told his followers not to worry, but to believe God. And you know what I did this week? I did just the opposite of what I preached about. You know, preachers do that at times. And I will tell you, I have to be honest to tell you that one night this week, 3 o'clock in the morning, that little squirrel cage and that wheel started running, and wide awake, wondering. We had a family issue that is, it's a serious issue. I'm not going to tell you any details, but I'll tell you what. I was worrying, and I wasn't believing God. And finally, I thought to myself, you know what, preacher? You better listen to your own preaching. And I just said, God, please help with this. And I did drift off back to sleep. But we know the struggle. So we touched on this thing of worry last week. You know, Jesus, in this passage, four times told his followers not to worry, but instead to look to God to provide for their needs. And he said, look at the birds that are all around, that God provides for them, and he values them. And Jesus said, God values you even more than he values those birds. And then he said, look at the lilies in the fields and how brilliantly they're dressed. And he said, God cares for them as well. We spoke a little bit about worry, and worry is basically just giving up the ship to unsettling anxiety. It's being strangled by care. And I've got to read you this because it really made an impression on me. I read it last week. A well-known writer said this: I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. And I asked you to think about that for a minute. Think about all the times you've worried about things out in the future that might happen and that could happen, but many of the things, would anybody say along with me, some things I've worried about actually never did take place, all right? And what is worry? Worry is a response to life's uncertainties and life's disappointments. We have no way of controlling tomorrow. And beware of those who tell you you can control tomorrow, because the reality is you and I cannot. This is not heaven here. This is earth. It looks like what the Bible describes it as, a place that was created by God, but it has been scarred and marred by sin, by our own choices that go against the will of God. And so we realize this isn't heaven yet. And sometimes we do worry. And we said this as well, that worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. Sometimes we are so consumed with worry about what may or may not happen that we do not have, are not taking advantage of the strength and the resources available to us to deal with today's issues. And so we spoke about worry, and there was a passage that I was able to read last week. I'm going to read it again, and then we're going to look at a passage that I wasn't able to get to last week. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. By the way, if you struggle with worry in your life, this is a good verse to commit to memory, to say, I'm going to learn and keep in mind what God has to say about worry. By the way, does anybody here have stuff that's you worry about? Any things that are on your mind? I know we've all got things that are playing heavy on our mind. Let's see what Scripture tells us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Turn our worries into prayers to God. Let's see what else it says. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. You know, sometimes in our lives we get so consumed with worries about what may happen, the uncertainties we face, that we forget completely to thank God for all the things He has helped us with. And so this is a good directive to say, look, yeah, there are troubles and things that require your concerns, but instead of just worrying about it, pray about it, tell God what you need, and thank Him for the things that He's already done. And then he says, as a result, let's take a look and see what else. Then, verse 7, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You'll experience peace. Now, the world says, here's some ways to have peace. Positive thinking. Just think positive thoughts. Don't allow any negative thoughts to enter your thinking. Cast them all out. Now, there's a degree of truth in that that helps us, but God's peace is something different than that. There are those that say, well, look, if you want peace, you just got to go on a mountaintop somewhere where there are no other people, because we know the source of a lot of this trouble is just other people, don't we? Well, you know, you can go on a mountaintop and still have a troubled mind. So it's not just the absence of conflict. And some people say it's just in good feeling. So here's what happens. Just get yourself numb, and then you will not have to worry about worry. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But we know that the Bible says this, that we can know God's peace, and knowing that God is in control. And there is a comforting sense of our reconciliation to God. It seems as if many people lack a sense of peace because things are not right between them and God. There's unconfessed sin. There are matters in our lives that we are not lined up with God's will. And there's a nagging sense that things are not right. So what do we do? You know what the Bible says? If we confess our sin before God, that He is faithful, He is just, He'll forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get up, knock the dust off, and go at it again. And we're going to fail in this thing, but the peace of God is a comforting sense of that reconciliation, that things are right between us and God. Said this last week, that worry can keep us up all night long. I know that. But faith makes a fine pillow. And so we are told here, and let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, so don't worry, this is verse 31, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. And you know, as I was considering this, there is a difference between anxious care and the care of diligence. There's a difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry tends to paralyze us and immobilize us to where we just don't even take action. But concern often moves us to action. And you know, when we are steeped in this unsettling anxiety, this worry about things, it reveals something. And this is what's hard for us to sometimes own. And that is this, that we are not trusting God as we should be. Anxiety and worry points to the fact that we are not trusting God. Now, that's hard to hear, isn't it? The fact that we are consumed by worries and we've got our minds on concerns and worries, that we're not even believing what God has said, that He cares about what's going on in our lives. Let's go now to the third thing that Jesus pointed to His disciples, third choice or decision. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God. Mike Garrett has come across a saying that he's relayed to me in the past, and it, to me, it really kind of puts the whole thing together. To know Him and to make Him known. To know God and also to make God known in our world, to bring glory to Him. And so Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And do you know there are many things in life that rightly call for our attention? If you've got a job, you know, you probably need to get up tomorrow morning and clock in, okay? And it rightly calls for your attention. If you're a parent and you've got a little one, you've got to make sure that that child's needs are met. If you live in a home, you've got to take care of that home and not let it fall down around your ears. So in this life, we recognize that many things rightly call for our attention, but there is one thing that must not be forgotten, and that is God, knowing Him, and making Him known. That's what Jesus seems to be pointing to. And it brings to us a question today. What is most important in our lives today? What's most important? Is it people? Look, people are important. People are important to God. Is it possessions? Possessions can be a blessing, but they are not to possess us. Is it pleasure? Well, certainly God designed us to recognize pleasure, but pleasure should not be in control of us. You know where that can take you and I. Is it our reputation? Certainly we would say, you know, a good reputation is a thing to be valued and a thing to be protected and a thing to be considered. But if our reputation is the most important thing in our lives, then we're moving in the wrong direction. Is it position? Some here have worked hard to gain positions of trust where you work or in organizations that you're a part of, and those things are good. But certainly a position cannot take the place of the kingdom of God in our lives. Objects, goals, other pursuits, listen to this. They all compete for priority, for primacy, to be first and foremost in our lives. And any of these things can easily become most important to us if we don't choose to give God first place in all things in our lives. And we were made for God. We were made to live in fellowship with Him. We were made to love Him. We were made to serve Him. And we were made to do His will. You think about that peace in our lives when we are reconciled to Him and our lives are inclined to do His will. You know, there's something about it that you can lay your head down on that pillow at night and go to sleep. You know, I went right past another verse that I don't want to leave here before we move on. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Actually, let's go to chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verse 12. I want to read this here before I read the verse in chapter 5. Sorry about that, Eddie. Went right by it. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 4, this whole book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you know, Peter the apostle, he's writing to other believers, and the people he is writing to are under persecution as he's writing. He's writing to encourage them in the midst of somebody hunting them down. And many of those early believers, their lives were surrendered because they were followers of Jesus Christ. So let's read verse 12, 1 Peter 4. He writes and he says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are what? Going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world." Friends, let me just tell you this. I don't know that there is a persecution that's been leveled by any group against anybody in this room. It may be office politics. Somebody's gunning for you because somehow it's gotten known that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're not ashamed of that. Let me just tell you something. Don't be surprised. It shouldn't take you by surprise that you might have a target on your back. Don't be discouraged. It goes on to say here, don't feel ashamed because of that, because you're in good company. Just keep your head up and keep doing what you're doing. So, by the way, it says, don't be guilty of sticking your nose in other people's business or being a thief or a murderer or that sort. But if you're going to be called out because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, do not be discouraged in that. Don't let it get you down. Let's look at verse 19. He goes on to say, "So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you." So now let's go to chapter 5, and I want to read one verse, verse 7. We're talking about worry, going back and getting that. I had ran right by this verse, but let me read this for you. He says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." He cares about you. Friends, let's look at the very last verse here in this passage, verse 34. So Jesus wraps it up in this part. He says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Anybody say amen to that? I got enough I'm worrying about today. Tomorrow will have its own concerns. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know what somebody said worry is? Worry is borrowing trouble from tomorrow and bringing it here to today. And do you know that planning is not prohibited? Proper provision for the future is not condemned? Planning for tomorrow is time well spent, but worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. The best preparation for tomorrow is to do the duties of today. Let me stop and ask you, has anybody here, because of procrastination, put off what you should have been done today? And boy, it just piles the trouble up, doesn't it? So the best preparation for tomorrow is to do the duty of today, to live one day at a time, to trust God. I want to just kind of summarize this and wrap it up for us today. Jesus spoke to his followers, getting ready to send them out, and he covered a lot of stuff in this Sermon on the Mount, but these three we're looking at today speaks about, first of all, our investing. Where am I storing up my treasures? If it's all just piling up solely for right here and now, when I leave here, it's all staying behind. And the people behind are probably going to be fighting over it. It does not speak against possessions. It does not speak about planning for tomorrow, but it just says, hey, pay attention to what you and I are investing in. Don't just pile stuff up here. Secondly, speaks about our believing. Am I going to believe God, or am I going to allow the circumstances to dictate how I think about this, what's going on in my life? Am I just going to believe God, that we matter to him and that he knows our needs? By the way, he has promised to provide our needs. I don't see in there that he has promised to give us all of our wants, okay? And sometimes we get that mixed up. What we want, we think we need. Anybody here ever wanted something and you convinced yourself it was a need? And then you actually happened to get it and you thought, what in the world am I doing with this? We do that sometimes. So the second thing we have been looking at here is our believing. Am I going to believe God? And we're encouraged in this. When anything burdens us in our spirit, we can ease our minds with prayer. The third thing that Jesus spoke to those disciples was about prioritizing, our prioritizing. Is God first in my life, or is something else? Are his concerns first? We said a little bit earlier, the things that we value the most have a way of causing us to determine and make our decisions. If money and having the things that money can buy is my sole criterion for making decisions, Jesus said, you're off track in that. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. I want to just come to one last reminder where Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, the things that you and I might be worrying about may never happen. Or we may be out of here before they ever do happen. You ever thought about that? Some of the things that we may be worrying about? But if they do come, God has promised to give us strength and wisdom. So what do we need to be about? To do our duty and leave the future in his hands. To do what we can do. To do what we should do. And to just trust God. And he said, he will meet our needs. That's the call that we have. That's what disciples all throughout the history of the church have been faced with. And you and I who follow Jesus today, we have some of those same choices. What are we going to invest in? What are we going to believe about God? And then how are we going to prioritize, put in order what things are most important? I ask if you'd stand with us. We're going to have a time of invitation. And take some time to consider these three choices in our lives. What am I investing in? again, don't be scared off completely to say, well, if I seek the kingdom of God, that means I can't have anything. It's not what it's saying. But it's to make sure that what God has blessed us with, we do not become selfish accumulators and cause that to choke out what God wants us to be doing and what he wants us to do about other people in our lives. And that is a challenge for us. What are we investing in? What do we believe about God? And then how are we prioritizing our lives? Is God first? Are the things that God values important to us? How does that go about helping us in the decisions we make day by day? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you for this testimony that you love your creation, you love us. And Lord, if our eyes are open, we can see it in this creation. We can also see, Lord, that things have gone in the wrong direction, that something has come in and created real death and division in this creation. Lord, we know that you're about reconciling it, and Lord, help us to be a part of that. I pray, God, that each and every one of us who have heard these words today from this Sermon on the Mount, Lord, would take a good look at our lives and order our lives according to your purposes. Please help us in big and in small ways. We pray this in Jesus' name.